SBS Radio.
I work as the manager for the Given a Chance program that is operating out of Victoria and has been around since 2002. It's part of the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence's broader outreach to helping disadvantaged job seekers find meaningful and sustainable employment. In 2002, we worked with a local council to assist a group of Sudanese young men and women who were in public tenants to find work with that council in their local depot. And since 2002, we've basically run somewhere in the region about seven or eight different versions of Given the Chance, both with local councils, with state government, and with corporate businesses and employers as well. Over that period of time, since 2002, we've assisted well over 1,000 individuals into employment, sustainable employment as well, so long-term employment. And we're working and continue to work closely with employers and with local communities to assist people find employment that's meaningful to them, not just getting people a job and just finding the first job that comes along, but things that match those individual participants' aspirations and career development.
And Hagma, what are the biggest barriers faced by new immigrants like you in terms of trying to find employment?
Yeah, thanks, Hassan. The barriers are, you know, local qualification and experience, networking, lack of confidence, lack of knowledge about Australian job market. English communication skill is the main one, lack of license and tickets.
So, Brian, do you find or do you try to find jobs that are aligned to the skills and qualifications of these new migrants, or it's whatever you can get them to actually get employed?
It's a little bit of both. We work with individuals that have a pressing need to get a job and earn money to be able to pay bills and get a financial foot in the door. So we will call that a potential survival job or a basic kind of first port of call job or a foot in the door job. But we don't just leave it there. We work with individuals who we might find those jobs, but maybe their long-term aspiration is maybe working in aged care or banking and finance. So we will continue to assist those people, even in employment, to prepare for the next step, for the next stage. So it's a case of not getting people jobs, but understanding what stage they're at in terms of their own career development. We'll give you a really good example of that. We've got an individual who is a trained doctor in country of origin, who did not have the funding or resources to be able to actually get their qualification assessed in Australia. It would have cost them somewhere in the region of $30,000. But at the same time, that individual needed work, so we were able to actually find them an administrative role in a hospital, which would allow them to actually be in at least the right environment for people to pick up that individual's opportunity for career development. And she's actually retraining as a doctor as we speak, as it happens. And so it's a case of making sure that we look at each case or each participant individually and find a pathway for each individual.
And you mentioned qualification. It's a common problem with a lot of migrants who had their qualifications overseas and have difficulty being recognized in Australia. Do you meet a lot of these people, and how do you address that kind of problem?
It's interesting. One of the Given a Chance programs that was funded by a single donor, it was our asylum seeker program, and that's been running since 2013. And I would say about 40% of all the people that we've worked with coming through that program have got degree qualifications and above. Quite often, depending on their own resources. They've either actually got those qualifications reassessed in this country. There's a lot of engineers we work with that have been reassessed by Engineers Australia. And those people still find difficulty getting work because they've got lack of local experience in the Australian workplace. But there are many others that haven't got those qualifications and will find them in jobs and employment that don't match what their skills and their abilities and their previous careers were. And for us, that's a difficult thing for those individuals. It's very much a difficult thing for us to actually see that. But we try very hard to work with organisations to be able to address that.
And Hakma, one of the barriers you said you faced yourself was cultural. How so? What does that mean? How difficult was that cultural-wise to find a job?
Yeah, for example, you know, people come with different walks of life and different cultures, and sometimes it's difficult for them to fit in Australian society. And some of them, they have language barriers, like I said. Some of them have... let's say, you know, on interviews, making eye contact is important in Australia, but for some of them, making eye contact is considered as rude. So what we do is we have multiple sessions one-on-one, and we prepare them for interviews, and we tell them what's acceptable and what's not. So yeah, basically, we have a chat with them, and, you know, we teach them, and we make them ready.
So, Brian, I noticed ANZ is one of the big employers. You have a special kind of relationship. But generally, what are the common industries and sectors you deal with in terms of employers?
My other role within the Given a Chance program is actually employer engagement. So my main job is to actually engage employers, small, medium and corporate, across a range of industries. And it is across every industry that you can think of, whether it's retail, whether it's aged care, childcare, allied health services, manufacturing and construction. Construction is a very, very important one. I'll come back to that in a second. Banking and finance, administration. And with construction as an example, at the moment, Victoria is going through a significant infrastructure boom with both roads, the rails, and the level crossing removals as well. So we're working very closely with large infrastructure companies and alliances of those companies to assist individuals get work, either as entry-level labouring roles, engineering roles, surveying roles, administration white-collar roles as well. We have just come from a meeting with the Windsor Hotel, who has worked very closely with us over the last 3 years to place people into concierge and housekeeping and hospitality roles as well. Our aim is to build very strong legacy relationships where they understand that we understand the needs of their business, and at the same time, we understand that they're looking to diversify their workplace and take on aspirant candidates.
So tell me a little bit how or what process do you go through in order to talk to a potential employer? What's the process? Do you just go to an employer? Do they have to have vacancies available? What do you tell them about your clients? How does that conversation go?
How long have you got, Hassan? So
totally. One minute.
entirely depends on the nature of the employer. I think over time, because I've been doing this quite a long time, is you build a network of employers who will, by their own experiences, influence other employers to get on board, particularly with programs like Given the Chance. And we're not unique in that respect. For me to identify an employer in the first place is to identify how serious they are about diversity and equity in the workplace as well. Identify the key players within those organisations. So initiate conversations where we're finding champions to be able to actually take on board what we're trying to achieve and understand the clients that we work with for the amazing hidden market of talent that exists out there as well. And again, with ANZ, as you come back to ANZ, we use the ANZ as a significant leveraging tool. If the ANZ is as a large international corporate banking finance can find value in taking up, given a chance program ostensibly for refugees, and it's been going for 12 years now, other organizations have demonstrated that they're very keen to understand what that model looks like. And how they can adopt it themselves, and we help them tailor that. So an example of that would be working with Energy Australia, for instance, where we work with placing people into a call centre, different business, but the actual process of giving a chance is very similar.
So Hakma, how did you first contact with Brotherhood of St. Lawrence while you were looking for a job? And now in your role as a recruitment field officer, how do you reach out to the new migrants and refugees you're trying to help?
Yeah, okay. I came to the program referred by Red Cross. Just prior to that, I was looking for so many jobs online through agencies, door to door. There was no success. Luckily, once I found given the chance, I was able to secure employment as a business admin trainee. And yeah, I am now doing recruitment and field officer. So when we talk about, you know, how I can help my clients, luckily I'm from East Africa, and the client group is mainly East African background from Somalia, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Sudan. So I have the knowledge about their culture, I speak their language, some of them, and I came through same way, so I'm relatable in terms of their background and, you know, the cultural aspect of it. So it's easier for me to build trust, and it's easier for me to have a chat and build rapport and help them. And also, you know, when I share my stories with them, they feel like, yeah, it's possible now, you know. Most of them think it's impossible to get, like, professional jobs in Australia. Most of them given up, you know, hopes. So even just sharing my stories makes a difference. So, yeah, that's what I do.
Great. So, Brian, we know the unemployment rate in Australia is 5.4, and in Victoria it's even less. Do we know what the employment rate is for those disadvantaged people you're trying to help?
It's a very broad question talking about, and I'm very mindful this is a national program, but certainly in the inner western suburbs of Flemington, the unemployment rate for young Africans under the age of 25 is somewhere in the region of 30 to 35%, which is, yeah, it's utterly unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. And we work really, really hard to identify the root causes of that, how we actually build trust with the communities that we certainly work with, how we develop the preparation for those people who have been disengaged from employment over long periods of time, and how we actually work with employers to actually find specific pathways for those individuals. Now, and that's just talking about that particular cohort. I mean, there are, I think, lots of different priority job seekers that really struggle to get work in the open labour market, whether you've got a disability, whether you've come from a migrant background, whether you've not gone through the schooling system, or you've encountered issues with, the police, or you've drug and alcohol issues, and sometimes and quite often these aren't isolated. These are combinations. Somebody with a disability who has left school at the age of 15 from a migrant background is even more adversely impacted by their ability to find work, and we say this to clients all the time. We don't have a magic wand when somebody comes in and we can just say, here's your perfect job, and sometimes that process takes a long time, and trying to make somebody job ready and trying to get individual employers and organisations to take that next step is a long process, but we do start somewhere and we do build that trust, and I think we're given a chance. It's not just about finding work, it's about how we find other programs to actually support individuals. So Hekma, you're involved in the women's leadership group.
Oh yeah. Sometimes, you know, like I said before, there is confidence issues, so we run women's only empowerment program twice. It was very successful. I should say one of the program members are now running their own SBS radio channel now, so that's one good example. And some of them got their dream jobs in real estate industry, so we're very successful in that. So
this is for both of you. Does bias and prejudice play role in the difficulties some of these people face? For example, if your name is Mohammed, or you're a woman wearing hijab, or if you're a young 20-something-year-old South Sudanese, is that much difficult to find job than the average Australians?
Yes, we still try so hard to overcome that. But again, yeah, not everyone is good people, so there is discrimination somehow, but it's not like impossible. We are helping people, and we are getting some outcomes. So I think that's.
So Brian, while you're trying to answer that, did you ever had an employer who was a bit reluctant to employ certain
yes,
people?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you navigate that?
I guess in the role, my role is very immediate, because I'm here to advocate on behalf of disadvantaged groups, because I have a voice to be able to do that and a skill set to be able to network. I would like to educate, but I haven't got the time to do that. So I do come across, and it's very rare actually, do come across somebody that has an active prejudice. I'll seek to understand what the nature of that is, and if I can actually break that down and change that attitude, and I've done it. And it's been wonderful to see people who've thought something, and then you've shown them an alternative way, and it's broken down. But quite often I'll move on to employers and organisations that intrinsically get it, but they just don't know how to put something in place. In terms of going back to your original question about prejudice. Yes, there is. I think there's an. I think for any white orientated Western culture, there is an inherent underlining level of racism that plays out in quite a lot of the media narrative that we're dealing with anyway. And I don't think for a second Australia is immune to that. And I'm a migrant myself, but I'm a privileged white migrant coming from Europe. So my path has been particularly easy, if not the easiest path. I think as much as there is that negativity and that prejudice, we constantly come across such positive stories of enlightenment and engagement and equity. That we hear or we see playing out in the media, so many negative stories about things that are going on with, say, African gang youth, for instance. For every one of those stories, we can think of 10 stories that are of yeah. positive engagement and people trying to make an extraordinary difference in terms of being able, in our case, being able to offer individual people jobs or pathways and routeways through to their own kind of economic and social development. So whereas I see that pretty much every day in what we're doing, it's actually plays out in other cohorts as well. It plays out with people with disability. It plays out with I saw it quite recently with women in a construction workplace. Those attitudes are changing. It's part of our job to be able to be part of that positive change as well. And I'd like my glasses half full. So I really do. I do seek positive engagement, and I'm really happy to you know, talk to anyone about the positive stories that they're coming out. And it's really important for us to be able to do that. I worked for a long time in disability employment, and then I moved to the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence and the Given a Chance program about 4 years ago to assist with asylum seekers who at the time had very limited work rights. And my perception and other people who knew I was going into this role thought this is going to be a very, very hard thing for you to do, is to convince employers to assist somebody on a bridging visa who's got no experience and very limited English. And I'm use their kind of those perceptions to find individuals from this particular group work. It's actually been the easiest 4 years of my professional career, because we're dealing with people who are aspirant, motivated individuals, and employers that have been constantly putting their hands up to assist and provide opportunities as well. And yes, you're right. There are these preconceptions about, well, somebody's English might not be up to scratch, or they might not have any experience in Australian culture. But time and again, we're working with individuals that we put them in front of an employer, and they totally trash that perception. There was an example of somebody who we placed into a job about 2 or 3 weeks ago, whose English was excellent, and it was one of six languages that person spoke. And this person was a master's degree qualified engineer. So there is a lot of this preconception that you come from a country that's from a refugee background, that somehow that you come to this country with no English whatsoever, whereas there are people that we assist whose English is not great in terms of trying to find sustainable employment, we're still assisting those individuals as well. But generally speaking, English is one of those kind of preconceptions that people say is a big issue, but it's not generally. A different example of this is I used to do this with disability, where they go, well, we can't really help anyone if they're in a wheelchair. But only 2% of anyone with a disability is in a wheelchair. So there's this preconception about all sorts of issues relating to people who I've got this tag or this label on top of them, and our job is to work with individual employers and individuals to be able to break that down by individual example.
So do you consider yourself as a labour hire company, and what would you say would be the main difference between you and mainstream recruitment agencies?
We're not a recruitment agency to start with. So the Given a Chance has three distinct employment models. One of them is where we facilitate and work with direct employment. We have a team of employer engagement coordinators that work directly to find roles and work with the employers to fill those roles for the employer. We are a social enterprise labour hire, so we actually specifically work with employers to assist people from disadvantaged groups find work, and we call it labour hire, but actually what we are is a supported onboarding process. So actually our role is to be the legal employer for a limited period of time to allow an individual to develop their skills and confidence so they can be absorbed into the business. So we're not a mainstream recruitment organisation that's looking for the best person on a resume and put 10 people forward for a job for a short-term contract. We're looking to work with employers where we can act as the employer for a period of time. The ANZ is a great model where we act as a legal employer for the first 6 months of that placement, and somewhere in the region of 90% of those individuals going through ANZ actually retained into employment with ANZ afterwards. So the idea is to create long-term employment solutions for the people we work with. We're also a group training organisation, so we deliver that same model for traineeships and apprenticeships as well. But unlike so many different organisations, and there are a few that are very similar to us, we're specifically working with those people who are not getting anywhere in the open labour market, and they're not getting anywhere with other labour hire organisations. We're specifically going and approaching and working with those individuals that need that assistance.
And finally, those who might listen to this interview and interested in contacting you, how do they reach your organisation?
Yeah, our number is 03-8080-1075. And also they can contact us on our website. They can have a look, www.giventhechance.org.au.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.